You. We want to thank you for your many, many blessings. Just praise God. It's so good to see y'all this morning. Hope everyone's doing well. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer as we open up our service. Just love when you have a chance to gather in His house, in the Lord's house. Yes, ma'am.
I have a prayer request. One of Tara's classmates' mother passed away
unexpectedly
yesterday morning.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. Oh, God sees and knows each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to praise you. Lord, we want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us, dear Lord, to gather in your house and in your name. Lord, we just want to lift you up. We want to honor you. Dear Lord, we just want to come to you, dear Lord, humbly. And dear Lord, and just thank you, dear Lord, for your many, many blessings, dear Lord, for your love for us and your mercy and grace. Dear Lord, as we open up our service, dear Lord, may we, as we come to you, Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, receptive to your word, and dear Lord, receptive to the message that you have for us this morning. Lord, you see the now, you see the hands that were raised, dear Lord, you know the depths of our hearts. You know even before we speak it or before we acknowledge it. Dear Lord, we ask now for you just to take each and every prayer request, each and every need. Lord, those that are here live, those that are watching on the screen this morning, Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for your provisions, Lord, for the roof over our head, for the shoes on our feet, the clothes on our back, dear Lord. And we thank you so much for your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, we're nothing without you. But, dear Lord, with you, all things are possible and all things are done. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the healings. And, dear Lord, thank you for your touch. And we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God, praise God. We're going to sing, I Want to Know More About My Lord. We're going to go to page 6. Page 6, I want to know. But before we start the song, I want to say something to y'all this morning. I know not everyone has the ability or opportunity to get into Sunday school, but whether it was as you as a child, whether it was you in a Sunday school class somewhere, a vacation Bible school, whether it was sitting at your grandma's lap or with your parents as the Word was read, or maybe God gave you this opportunity to learn His Word at an older age. But I just want for 1 minute just to recognize all of our teachers and our ministry leaders, and I'm just going to ask each and every one of you. We're so blessed to have such a wonderful group. They put so much effort. But I know we're all standing, but I want y'all to look around. I know some people aren't comfortable, but I want our teachers, if you would, our leaders, just raise your hand this morning. And I know you're doing it for the Lord. You're not doing it for your recognition, but we want to thank you and let you know how much we love you. Praise God. I don't know about you, but when we come in here to service and after we just left a great Sunday school class, and all of them are great, but the Lord just uses His Word to teach us. And then when we get ready for this, and this song just pops into my mind so many times, I want to know more about my Lord. I'm going to ask each and every one of you to sing, and let's just worship God as we sing this morning.
I want to know more about my Lord.
if you can, and also, I know it, not. I know we don't normally, most of us don't want recognition, but I also want to use this opportunity to thank our pastor and his beautiful wife for all that they do for our church, and just know how blessed we are that he leads us and guides us as his word is brought true. Let's give him a hand. Amen. Amen. And the invitation is open. If there's anyone that would like to get involved with our Sunday school classes or any of the ministries, please just let us know. And also, if you don't know Jesus and you can't sing that song with a filled heart and know that His Holy Spirit is within us, if you want to know more about that Jesus that we sing about and we read about and we study about, please, this day is the perfect day for you just to turn your life over to Him. And let Him fill you with the peace and joy that only He can provide. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. We're going to go ahead and take up the morning offering. Just excited about so many things going forth. And I want to thank those that's already come through and are getting with us to help with the Christmas shoe boxes, Samaritan's Purse. And don't forget it. Miss Elaine has the information. There's been some questions going out on what could be done. And also on the box and the shipping cost of $9. We thank you so much. That's the only announcement I have up here this morning. Are there any more? Band of Brothers, that's right. Just want to remind everybody, thank you, Brother Billy, that he is offering his place over in Alabama, the lake. We're going to be planning, and I'm sorry, I don't have it. I need to write that down, because I need to be there too. October 17th, guys, you're all invited. We're going to go over to Brother Billy, them's got a place on the lake over in Alabama. We're looking forward to it. We'll be meeting here that morning at 9 a.m. where we can carpool. We can do however you want to. But it's going to be a great time. You're all invited. And if you haven't had a chance to be part of Band of Brothers, this would be a great opportunity to meet us and realize what it's all about. But we're going to have that day outing, and you're all invited. And I think he said bring a chair and your fishing poles is what he presented it to me when he asked if he could do it. We did it last year, and it was a great, great success. And it's an opportunity to get to know each other. So praise the Lord. Praise God. Brother Jim, would you ask the Lord to bless our morning offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to be in your house this morning to worship the Lord. We just ask you to bless each and every one of your family with us this morning. Bless the ones in the world that's traveling. Bless the sick, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
This morning, Lord. Now, Lord, we come to you and ask you to bless your messenger and the message this morning, Lord. Ask you to bless us all, Lord, to be close to you and your service, Lord. Bless you every time, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Above nothing, there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Nothing, there's no other. Jesus is the way. At the back of your mind, traces of discouragement and peace you just can't find, reflections of your past seem to weigh you down each and every day. There's one thing I know for sure, Jesus is the way.
Been missing this girl right here.
Thank you. Thank God I know where my hope is. I said, thank God I know where my hope is. Hallelujah. I don't find it in current events. I don't find it on the news channel. Come on, I don't even find it, amen, from rest and relaxation. I know where my hope is, and my hope is in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He said He won't leave us. Glory to God. He won't forsake us. He will, in fact, go with us all the way. Amen. We're not alone, folks. Amen. If you know that, give the Lord praise this morning. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. God bless you in this house today. We appreciate you coming and being with us this morning. Trust and hope that you've all had a wonderful week. Looking forward to a great day in the Lord. If you have your Bibles, we just want to get right into the Word of the Lord this morning. Amen. In the book of St. John, in the 21st chapter. St. John, chapter 21. Amen. Beginning with verse number 9 this morning, when you get there, say, praise the Lord. Okay, we're not all there yet then. The 21st chapter of the book of St. John, chapter number 21, beginning with verse 9. When you get there, say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Bible reads this way. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was the net not broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. None of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love and thank you this morning, God, for your Spirit, for the anointing, for the praise and worship that's in this house this morning. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just anoint these lips of clay. God, this vessel, God, to speak to our hearts this morning. God, that we may be enriched by your word. Father, we do remember those who are sick and suffering. Many are afflicted this morning, God, and they've reached out to us to pray. Father, I pray that right now you would touch them with your healing hand of power. God, and now, Lord, just have your will and way in this service. Help us to be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word, and we'll be so careful, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise. You may be seated. Amen. This morning we have a very remarkable story that I want to bring to our remembrance. And if I had a message title, it would be Remember When. Remember When. And I have a reason for putting those two particular words in the title this morning. God dealt with me pretty much all week long about this particular chapter and after the resurrection of Christ and how that He again visited His disciples on numerous occasions. We find here that during this time that John is writing, Jesus had risen from the grave. Can you put your hands together? Amen. Isn't that wonderful to know that Jesus, that same Jesus who was crucified and buried in that tomb, has now risen, and just like He said that He would. Amen. And we find that the women and the disciples have viewed the empty tomb. Man, He's not there. That person that they was looking for was not there. He had risen. Later that evening, John tells us that the disciples were gathered in a room with the door closed, and Jesus appeared to them there. That's where, Thomas, the doubter, had to feel the scars of Jesus and thrust his finger in his side and feel his nail-scarred hands to believe that it was Jesus. And by the way, it was. Amen. It was Jesus. Then again, after 8 days, the Bible tells us through the book of St. John that He appeared with the same message unto the disciples again through closed doors. Amen. How many knows that God can go through closed doors? And His same message was, peace be unto you. And then in verse number 30, the apostle John, or the disciple, tells us,
and many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. In other words, the Lord Jesus made it absolutely and perfectly plain that it was he who had risen from the grave. He was victorious over death and hell, and he was alive and well and about to go home to be glorified. But he also assured them that they would never, ever be alone. Can I just remind us this morning that no matter how seemingly lost that we are, how confused and thoroughly dejected that we may be, we are never alone. And I'm not talking about the other saints. They're there for us. But there is a risen Savior today. Amen. And he won't leave us. He's there with us every step, every situation, and every problem that we may encounter. Now, Jesus appears at the seashore. The two previous times, he had appeared in a room with the disciples with closed doors. Now we find that Jesus is on the seashore. And we read, according to John, that there's seven disciples. And they've kind of met together. And I would imagine that being seven disciples, they were probably talking about, what are we going to do now? Even though that Jesus had appeared to them on numerous occasions, even though that Jesus had warned them that I will not be with you always in flesh, but I will send a comforter in my name, even after they had touched the nail-scarred hands and saw the sore in his side, the riven place where the spear was thrust into his side, they probably still have some hesitations or some reservations about how they're going to go on with this ministry. Because Jesus was so much a vital part. He was with them daily. He was with them in the synagogues. He was with them when Jesus opened up the blinded eyes and he healed the lame. And he did all of these wonderful miracles. And I would imagine it stirred their heart. If you read how that Jesus called the disciples, many left their occupation. They left their family. They left their past. And they began to follow Jesus. They intended to truly follow him all the way into the end. And now these seven disciples are probably thinking, what are we going to do now that Jesus is with not with us? And Peter coins a phrase that has been rehearsed over and over and over again. He said, I go fishing. Now, you know, sometimes we think about that. He just kind of wanted to go back to his pastime. But let me tell you what I believe was in that phrase that he meant. Because very quickly, the other six disciples said, we'll just go with you. We're going to return to our comfort zone. We're going to return to where we once was, because that's what we're familiar with. Because our Lord and our Master and our Savior has gone to heaven, and even though His Spirit is with us, we're not sure that we are equipped to be able to conduct the ministry that God has laid upon us. So we're just going to go back to what we're familiar with. So Peter and the other six disciples, they board the ship and they go out, and the Bible says they fish all night and they caught nothing. Have you ever been in that situation where you've sought God and you prayed and you petitioned God, but somehow you just can't get through? Somehow you just can't feel anything? You feel like God has deserted you, when that's not the case at all. Amen. It's just because we need to get in the right frame of mind. Let me tell you something. If we would spend as much time believing as we do praying, we'd see miracles performed. We'd see loved ones come to the cross. We would see revival break out. But the Bible says, believe for what you ask for, because nothing is impossible with the Lord. But here they are, returned to the familiar things of old, before they were called to be fishers of men. You remember when Jesus called them. So as they lean back to their own understanding and their own way of doing things, and they find out that it's fruitless, they have not caught anything all during the night. Then as the morning begins to break, there is a silhouette, a figure of a person standing on the seashore. At first, he's not recognized by the disciples. Can I tell you, sometimes Jesus is standing right in our presence and we can't even recognize it. We're too busy mumbling and groaning and complaining. We're too busy trying to work it out ourselves and trying to fix the situation. And there's a song that's out now said, and there was Jesus. Amen. They were looking everywhere else trying to do what they could do. But Jesus was standing on the shore. The very answer to whatever problem you're facing right now is in the form of Jesus standing there beckoning unto you, telling you, directing you, and ensuring, amen, that if you'll simply put your faith and trust in Him, amen, all things will be possible. So the voice from the figure that is on the seashore calls out to them, children, have you any meat? Children, have you any meat? I want you to listen to that voice today that is calling. Child of God, do you have any meat? Child of God, are you worried about tomorrow? Child of God, are you worried about what you're hearing and seeing on the airways? Child of God, are you worried about what the end of this year is going to bring? Child of God, are you worried about your loved ones? Are you worried about the prayers that you've been sending up before me? Amen. Let me tell you right now, here, you come to me, I will give you meat. I will give you sustenance. I will bless you when you go out. I will bless you when you come in. Amen. There's nothing that God cannot do. Have you any meat? They answered him, no. No. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. Sometimes we're fishing in the wrong hole. Come on, we're trying things that used to work, used to give us peace, and used to give us consolation. And, you know, I've heard and I've talked to Brother Keith, and Brother Keith has shared with me and the addiction program that he's talking about. And sometimes, and we talked about this at great length, and one of my questions was, what would cause anyone who have been loosed and freed from that particular walk of life of addiction ever want to return to it again? And one of the things that kept coming up was depression. When nothing else seems to be working and they turn back, amen, to what once gave them a little peace of mind, even though it's for just a little bit, or what once gave them just a little high. And you know what? That never lasts. But a relationship with Jesus Christ will last even when the times are bad. Amen. Thank God that we have peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. But I would imagine that Peter, being an experienced fisherman, said, let's go to some of these hot spots, some of these places that we've fished before and where we've been able to draw fish out. But you know what? He was so close to a blessing. I said it was right on the other side. It's just on the right side of the boat. And here we are fishing all night long on the left side of the boat, trying to get something, trying to make the impossible come to pass. Amen. When all the Lord had to do was speak to them and say, cast your net on the right side of the ship. And when they did, they began to bring in a multitude of fish. In fact, the Bible sees fit to tell us that there was 153 fish caught in that net. And what I want to bring to our attention, the Bible says, and this even surprised Peter and the other disciples, the net did not break. Amen. Let me tell you something. The net that God has spread over us, it will not break. Amen. It can be used again and again and again through adversity, through sickness, through affliction, whatever the problem, whatever the situation, if we'll cast that net, and then according to the Word of God, amen, it'll bring success and it'll bring sustenance. Fish on the right side. I mean, he's glad to be on the right side. Amen. Then something miraculous happened. They recognized that it was Jesus standing on the shore. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Lord, open my eyes of faith, that I may be able to see through the darkness, through the turbulence, through the trials, and through the nights of unfulfillment. And through the long, extended depression that we as mere mortals sometimes get in, Lord, help me to look past that. Help me to look and see standing on that spiritual shore is Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. Amen. It's very familiar then. Amen. Because we know that once we see Jesus, once we get a hold of our faith and place it in a never-failing God, that He will, in fact, make a way when there seemeth no way. If He's ever done that for you, put your hands together for Jesus. So then they began to come to land. In verse 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire. Praise God. A fire of coals. Tell you a difference between a fire and a fire of coals. I don't know if you've ever got your wood laid out and you put some charcoal lighter on it or whatever it is, and boy, it blazed up, and man, you say, I got a fire now. And all of a sudden it kind of fizzles out. Let me tell you about a fire of coals. Fire coals have been burning for a long time. I often say the best time to cook a steak is after all the food has been taken off the grill. When them charcoals turn white. Glory to God. We think sometimes because we're blazing, we're on fire for God. But let me tell you who's on fire for God. That one that has been burning for years and years and years. That one who's been burning through every trouble and every trial and every situation and has come out victorious time and time again. Because their faith is not in the power of man, but it is in the power of God. Hallelujah. So listen. John says nothing about a fire until they come to shore. And when they come to shore, as is evidenced by the hot coals, this fire has been burning for some time. You know how long it takes a fire before you have those really hot coals. Now on those coals, whether it was a grill or rocks or whatever, was some bread and fish. Say with me, bread and fish. You see, during the absence of Jesus being in bodily form with the disciples, their memory began to be shortened. Let me tell you, folks, if we don't stay daily in touch with the Lord, through prayer, through fasting, through reading, through church attendance, through whatever the situation may be, there seems to be a little bit of spiritual memory loss in our life. Especially when we're bombarded with one of the biggest, hardest trials that we've ever faced. But here we find the disciples. And they come and Jesus is there and the coals are burning and whatever the grill or the rocks or whatever, and he's got fish. Like, where did the fish come from? Jesus didn't have a net. Well, Jesus don't need a net. Where'd the hot coals come from? Glory to God. You see, John writes all of this, and the miracle is that whenever we need Jesus, He is the answer. He has what we need in our life. They were so distraught because they couldn't catch fish. All of a sudden, Jesus pointed them in the right direction and they caught all of this fish. But what they failed to understand was Jesus already had fish on the grill and had bread waiting on them. That tells me that the Lord is going to supply my need, whatever it is. Why am I so worried? Why do I fret? Why do I perplex with all of these things that I can't seem to get victory over when the Lord already has it prepared for me? He will feed me. He will guide me. He will instruct me. And He will keep me. Amen. If you believe that, give Him praise this morning. If you believe the Lord is able. Glory to God. A fire of coals with fish and bread. And I want to remind us this morning that the message title says simply, Remember When. Thank God that He has given us a memory, a spiritual memory. Because I need that. I need that. Because I'm a human being. Sometimes my faith may not be as strong as it needs to be. And sometimes my focus may not be exactly what it's supposed to be on. If we're spending more time looking at the problem than we are the problem solver, then our focus needs to be attentive to. Amen? But that spiritual memory lets me know that even though I face this situation now, I have a God who's already brought me to this point. He's already provided for me. He's already made a way. And He will make a way again. The disciples, the hand-picked people that Jesus chose to help Him and to carry out His ministry, now were faltering in faith and faltering with direction and wondering what was going to come of their ministry and what would happen. And we know, amen, what happened on the day of Pentecost and when the power of God came down. But they're not seeing that yet. They're not understanding that yet. And now they're lost and they don't have the spiritual vision that they need. And Jesus, what does He do? He reminds them. But what are you talking about? If Jesus was anything, He was subtle. You remember, He didn't get all out, bent out of shape when the Pharisees would come against Him. Most of the time, He'd just turn a question on to them. And He was always calm and cool and collected. You remember when the disciples were walking and they was going to have to pay tribute, you know, and Jesus said, go down there and fish His mouth and get it. How many of us have been so stressed out when tax time comes? Somebody said, you know what? I'm just going to go fishing. Amen. Well, God can make a way. Amen. But as they come, something begins to take place in their minds, in their spiritual minds. I believe that, and I believe it's the purpose that Jesus had. He could have fed them anything that day. He's able. But I think my opinion and what God laid on my heart this week, because He began to remind me of things. Because there's times and situations that even as a minister, you say, Lord, where are You? You know, I need something from You. I need a touch from You. I need guidance from You. And He has to jog our spiritual memory to let us know of the many, many times in the past He has always made a way. So here the disciples walk up. And there's Jesus. And on the fire, the hot coals, there's fish and there's bread. And I would imagine, maybe, just maybe, those seven disciples begin to think back when Jesus took two fishes and five loaves and fed 5,000 men, not counting the women and children that were there. And He broke the bread because, listen, here's what Jesus did. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net. And I want to go to verse number 12. Jesus said unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, Who art thou, knowing that it was there. Jesus then cometh, taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. The same order that He did when He fed the 5,000. You remember Jesus said, Go and bring the fish that you have, the little lad, two fishes and five loaves. Bring it to Me. Jesus took it. He broke it. He distributed it to the disciples. The disciples in turn distributed it to the multitude that was there. They ate till they're full. And then they received 12 baskets of fragments. How many remember reading that in the Bible? And now the disciples are concerned because they didn't catch any fish. I think Jesus is getting the point to them. Listen, as long as you got Jesus. Whew, glory to God. That kind of made me think of that song. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Long as I got King Jesus. Don't need anything else. Oh, don't need anybody else. As long as I got Jesus. How many knows that He is our provider? How many knows that He is our Redeemer? How many knows that He is the lifter up of our head? As long as we got King Jesus, whatever we need, if we have faith to believe, the Lord will provide it for us spiritually, physically, financially, whatever it is. I believe the Lord will provide. Remember when? You remember when? Do you remember when you were so down and out? Do you remember questioning your walk with God? Do you remember asking God, well, Lord, why are you letting this happen to me? Why is this happening? Lord, have I not served you? Have I not worked for you? Have I not been one of your disciples? Have I not been one of the Christians who prayed and sought God? And now I'm going through this, and now these problems are surmounting around about me. But remember when. Remember when Jesus came in and He made everything right. Jesus is right for whatever's wrong in your life. Sometimes we have to be reminded. Sometimes we have to remember. This week, I was made to remember a spiritual awakening, maybe. Whatever you want to refer to it as. I know that some of you are probably going to look at me like you're kind of weird. That's all right. I'm used to that look. And others are going to say, you know what? I had a similar situation in my life. But there was a time when the man who stood behind this pulpit, pastored this church, was my dear granddaddy, Brother P.C. Bailey, the founder of this church. In fact, the little church that is behind us is where we first started having our meetings back in the 60s. Never, ever, in my way of thinking, was there ever a truer saint of God and a more precious man of God. And I've often said, if you looked in the dictionary under the word pastor, they should put Brother P.C. Bailey's picture after it, because I know I'm prejudiced. I know that was my granddaddy. That was my... He was my babysitter for Kevin. He was my next-door neighbor. He was my wood-cutting buddy. He was Papa. He was Papa. And Papa got sick. Papa started not being able to stand in the pulpit for the duration of his sermons. He would walk around in front of the communion table, and he would sit down kind of propped up on it. And we began to realize that Papa's health was not good. It was going down. But we didn't want to see that. Let me tell you something. The saints of First Pentecostal Church didn't want to see their pastor sick. They didn't want to see him weak in a weakened condition. They shuddered the thought that if anything ever happened to him, what would we do and how would we go on? And who would be the pastor and who would be the minister and who would ever take the place of Brother P.C. Bailey? And I can tell you right now, nobody ever can. Nobody ever will. But that was the church's thinking. Then it got to a point where Brother Bailey could not even come to church. And we were all praying. I remember one night we were here. Brother Bailey was in the hospital. He was lying out here at Villarica Hospital. He had gotten to a point where every time that they even tried to move him or turn him to change his sheets or anything, he would just scream in pain. We began to pray. The doctor had done told us everything that could be done was done. It was just in God's hands. My granddaddy would tell us, I'm ready to go home. And we said, yeah, we're going to get you home. No, he said, I'm ready to go home. We knew what he was talking about. So we were trying to carry on. And one night, I think it was on a Wednesday night, maybe there was a few of us here, and most of the family was at the hospital with Brother Bailey. And Brother Thomas answered the phone back there. And I was just about to sing a song. And he come out and he shook his head and came up and whispered in my ear that Brother Bailey had passed away. So we had prayer, and we, as I think everybody that was here at the church on that Wednesday night, went out to the hospital, gathered around the family and consoled them and was there for them. And we were just we were beside ourselves. We just were lost. We didn't know. We had some preachers, and I had started preaching as a youth pastor, but still wet behind the ears, still green as a gourd, and I just couldn't stand the thoughts of my granddaddy not being my pastor and not being here with us anymore. So time went on, and we struggled, and we tried, and we picked up, and because we know Brother Bailey would want to do that. So I was in the bread business then, and Brother Billy, you can relate to this. I was getting up about 2:30 in the morning and running a bread route, so I would try to go to bed fairly early, but I would try to go to bed at a time where I'd go straight to sleep, because those 4 or 5 precious hours were, you needed to get sleep quick. And Penny would come to bed later. Most of the time I'd be sound asleep before she'd ever come. This was at our other house. And I had laid down, and in my memory, I had gone to sleep, or I was in a state of sleepiness. I don't know if I was sound asleep, but sometimes when I was laying there, Penny would come in, open the door, and go to the bathroom that was there in the master suite just off to the right. And that's what I thought had happened. I thought she had come in and had gone to the bathroom, but the light was not on in the bathroom. The door was still closed, and the door to the bedroom was closed. And I was wearing glasses at that time, and I was rubbing my eyes, and I sat up in bed to try to see what was going on. And it was though it was a light. It was nothing formed, nothing looked human, but it was just kind of hovering over the end of my bed. And at first it scared me. I thought I was dreaming, and I was wiping my eyes and looking at that, and all of a sudden it just kind of like it just hovered, almost like it sat down on the edge of the bed. And by this time it had my full attention. And it was not an audible voice. It was not anything speaking really, really loudly. It was just impressed in my mind, son, everything's going to be all right. And then it was gone, just like that. And I immediately, I remembered when. Because from the time that I was a little boy, and I had a spiritual situation, that I could go to Papa, and he always said the same thing. Son, everything's going to be all right. I don't know, can't explain it, whatever it was, but that was my way of identifying that Papa somehow was getting the word. Remember when? Remember when? It's going to be all right. You can't quit just because I'm gone. You can't give up just because I'm no longer with you. But you got to take up the mantle. You got to keep preaching. You got to keep going. You got to keep working. You got to keep believing. Amen. You got to keep seeking souls that are lost. Amen. Remember when? God has never failed us. We need to be reminded of where He brought us from. Remember when you were lost? Remember when you were in such a situation, amen, that you couldn't even hold your head up, but you came to Jesus and you laid your burdens down, every sin, every iniquity, and Jesus forgave you and washed you with the precious shed blood. Do you remember what He did then? Do you know now that He won't leave you? He won't forsake you. He's still here. He's still making a way. Oh, hallelujah. Church, we need to remember where God brought us from. And can I echo the words of my granddaddy? Son, everything is going to be all right. Why? Because there was Jesus. There was Jesus. When all hope was gone, there was Jesus. When it seemed like everybody and everything turned against me, there was Jesus. Hallelujah. And as I remembered this week, I could never, ever think of a time that I needed the Lord, that He wasn't there for me. He always made a way. He's made a way so many times for Sister Penny and myself. Many, many times He's been there. Talking about going through closed doors, I'll leave this with you. Isn't it amazing that Jesus didn't even knock?
He just went right through those closed doors. Many years ago at Eggleston Hospital, Kevin was getting prepared for very serious surgery. Most of the procedures that he had experienced, we were able to be very near him or close to him, or at least right outside of the room where they was doing. But this was a very serious surgery that he was going to go under, and Penny and I could not be with him. So I remember they came to his room, they get the little gurney, they put him on the little gurney, and they're rolling down the hall, and to this day, Kevin still doesn't like hospitals. He doesn't like anything that looks like a hospital. If you take him in his wheelchair and the lights look similar to a hospital, he'll already start getting agitated. He doesn't like it. Many, many years ago, when nurses wore white and doctors wore white, anybody that came near him in a white dress or a white suit or anything, Kevin just freaked out. He didn't like it. But we were walking and we were talking on each side, and we got down, and I can see those closed doors now, those big, heavy hospital steel closed doors that were the entrance into the operating room. And the nurse told us, she said, well, I said, give him a kiss, and we'll bring him out as soon as everything's over. So me and Penny knelt over, and we kissed him. And I told him, I said, Kevin, and those big old brown eyes looking up at me, I said, Mom and Daddy can't go in with you. This is as far as we can go. But Jesus is going to go through those doors with you and be with you. And I know that Jesus did. I know that He did. Amen. And let me tell you, when you get to those two closed doors and you think that that's as far as you can go, and you think that no way are you going to ever get any victory, just understand that closed doors doesn't keep Jesus out. Amen. He goes where no man can go. God bless you. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Remember when you were hopeless. Remember when you didn't know the answer. Remember when you were searching and seeking for meaning in life, for meaning in your life, what you were supposed to do, which road you were supposed to take. And you didn't find direction until there was Jesus. If you're here today and you're looking for that direction and you can't seem to find it, I want you to look on the shore spiritually and see Jesus standing there beckoning unto you. Come unto me, all ye that heavy laden. All ye that labor, and I'll give you rest. How many knows that Jesus is rest? With every eye closed, every head bowed, every saint of God praying, this is your opportunity to come and meet Jesus. This is your opportunity to come, amen, and let Him feed you that spiritual nourishment that you need to forgive you of your sins, to forgive you of your past, to wipe away the iniquities of your life, to get a brand new start, be the very best thing you've ever done in your life. Is there one this morning that would come and give your life to Jesus? Please don't be looking around. This is a very, very sacred time. This is a time where souls are weighing in the balance. This is your opportunity. Is there one? While every head is still bowed, our eyes closed, if you need prayer, just lift your hand. Let this pastor know that God bless you. I'll be praying for you and I'll be praying with you. Don't forget that Jesus is there, even when you can't see Him. Brother Jim, would you come? Dismiss us with a word of prayer. May God bless you. We love you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. As we started our service talking about learning and learning more about Jesus and understanding what it means to be a child of God, and through Sunday school, through teaching, but through powerful messages that God has blessed us to be witness to. But not just this outside, but we want it inside. And that our heart completely filled with our Lord, that as He strengthens and guides us, may we remember when. And I know talking to our grandson and his girlfriend, and we just so many times we reminisce. And that's what it's all about. Remember when. And that's about Jesus and what He's done in our life, when He's brought our families back together, when He brought that prodigal child home. And the God, we love you. And If anyone needs prayer this morning, whether you're watching on the live feed, I say this all the time, but I hope you know that we sincerely mean we'll pray not only for you, but with you, because it's your heart that has to be released to the Lord. God will guide you the rest of the way. So if anyone needs prayer this morning, please know that even if you're not comfortable right now, if you need to let us know that you need some private time too, we'd be glad to work with you. Love each and every one of you. It's such a pretty, beautiful crowd we've got this morning. Love y'all. Don't forget about our service tonight, and just come with expectant heart. God is at work right now. In this world today, we need to find that peace, and that peace comes from the Lord and Him alone. Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Well, they brought out a chair that can lift him up, and the people that put it together did not click the left side right. And yesterday, he fell out, the chair broke or whatever it did, and he fell out. Y'all still remember him. He may still have a little bit more trouble, but anyway, God can heal that too. Y'all remember him in your prayers.
Amen.
And one of the guys that actually my ex-brother-in-law, Angie's ex-husband, he came to church several times here. His name is Barry. I found out over the weekend that he pretty much is dealt with a lung cancer.
Yes, ma'am.
And he's also got a aneurysm in his stomach. And, of course, you know, nobody can go see him or be with him or anything. But y'all remember him and pray for him spiritually.
Right. Praise God. And we will. We know God's already touching. Just in our faith. And you know, I heard something, and I'm going to say this real quick as we close. I heard somebody, I heard it multiple times yesterday, the new norm. Well, my norm is still God.
Amen.
And that's who I've got. My faith is in Him. And our prayer request, all those that we lift up, all you prayer warriors, and like I said, we love each and every one of you. And we just will keep that special request. And we know God already knew about that chair. We know He's already brought him this far from that motorcycle wreck, so we know God will touch. And the cancer, we know. Alrighty, well, with this prayer, we're going to be dismissed, but just call it an intermission, because we would love to see each and every one of you back this evening, if all possible. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we thank You for this opportunity You've given us to gather in Your house and in Your name. Lord, as we feast on Your Word, the Lord, as Your message has been brought forth, the Lord, and Your Scripture's been read, the Lord, may it just continue, the Lord, just to grow in us, dear Lord. May we feel Your presence as we remember the things that You've brought us from through our testimonies of praise, dear Lord, through our salvation, through our walk, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, we pray for anyone, dear Lord, that's in the sound of this message, dear Lord, that feels astray or they don't have that comfort, dear Lord, that they'll turn to You. And, dear Lord, they just give their life to You. Dear Lord, we just praise You, we worship You, and we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon.